Good morning.
Good morning.
Today we have Luke 14, 1, and then we'll do Luke 14, 7 to 14. On one occasion when Jesus was going to the house of a leader of the Pharisees to eat a meal on the Sabbath, they were watching him closely. When he noticed how the guests chose the place of honor, he told them a parable. When you are invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not sit down at the place of honor in case someone more distinguished than you have been invited by your host. And the host who invited both of you may come to you and say, "Give this person your place." And in disgrace, you would start to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit down at the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, "Friend, move up higher." Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at the table with you. For all who exalt themselves will be humble, and those who are humble themselves will be exalted. He said also to one who had invited him, "When you give a lunch or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors. In case they may invite you in return, you would be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind. And you will be blessed because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." God bless our reading.
Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. After worship today, I am going to be heading up to Heartwood Acres to officiate at a wedding for a lovely young couple. The couple requested that I make an announcement at the beginning of the service, inviting guests to turn their phones off for the ceremony. Because of smartphones, everyone now thinks that they are a wedding photographer. And the problem with this is that instead of being fully present for the ceremony, guests become preoccupied with taking pictures of the service and then uploading them to social media before I've even had a chance to proclaim the husband or the couple husband and wife. And when wedding couples do this against the bride and groom's wishes, the couple has trouble enjoying their wedding day. As I was preparing the sermon for this Sunday, I've come to realize that prematurely posting wedding photos on social media is the modern day equivalent of taking the seat of honor at a wedding banquet in the ancient Near East. In both instances, wedding guests try to steal the spotlight from the bride and groom and redirect it upon themselves. Now, it's a very normal human thing to want to sit at the best spot at the wedding banquet. Presumably, you'll get to eat first if you pick the right table. It's also very normal to want to take a flattering photo of yourself when you and your spouse or friend are all dressed up. We should not kid ourselves. Humble bragging is not genuine participation in the kingdom of God. In our scripture passage for today, Jesus says that in this new kingdom, the humbled will be exalted and the exalted will be humbled. Remember, in the first century, your status in life was largely dependent upon the status of your parents or the family that you were born into. There wasn't a lot of moving around from being poor to being wealthy. You couldn't work hard and achieve wealth the way that we can today. So what Jesus is trying to say here is that although we can't control our social status in life, we can control how we respond to it. Here he's particularly talking to people who are born into positions of privilege. And he's telling them, if you were born into privilege, it is your duty and responsibility to use your privilege to lift others up. One of the questions I think we American Christians need to wrestle with is, how do we use our privilege to bless others? Compared to the rest of the world, Americans enjoy incredible privilege. What I mean by this is that we have access to things like clean water, clothing, food, shelter, and medicine that the rest of the world simply does not. I believe that the best antidote to privilege is community, where we force ourselves to be in situations where the rough edges of one another brush up against the rough edges of our own unholiness. One of the evils of privilege is that it isolates us. What I mean by this is that we as a society now are less likely to ask our neighbor to borrow a cup of sugar when we run out than we are to get in our car and drive to the grocery store or order a cup of sugar on our phone and have it delivered to us in the next couple hours. What I worry is that in a generation or two, we will have outsourced all of our problems to the point where we can't tell you our neighbor's name. For those of us that have the financial means to take care of ourselves, living in community is the clearest way that we can participate in this kingdom of God. And for those of us gathered in this room, the type of community living I'm talking about is a church community. Now, as anyone who has ever belonged to a church knows, it is impossible for any community to get along 100% of the time. We will have arguments, disagreements, sources of conflict. And sometimes these arguments and disagreements and conflicts can get downright heated. As a Christian community, we labor day in and day out to live into Charles Wesley, you know, that famous Methodist theologian, his mandate that a church should have unity in essentials and charity in unessentials or non-essentials. What he means by this is that as a community, we have decided that faith in Jesus is an essential tenet of why we gather. But we need to have some charity in different opinions in how we live about this belief in Jesus. Friends, it is hard to be charitable towards someone that holds a different point of view than you do. Particularly the more important this viewpoint is to you. It's especially hard to be charitable towards someone who's not behaving particularly charitably towards you. But we do this day in and day out because we believe that the demand of hospitality is one of the costs of discipleship. If we return to my wedding illustration for a moment, I really don't care if wedding guests take pictures during the ceremony, as long as they're not being obnoxious, like doing flash photography or trying to get into my personal space. I generally let guests try to get their pictures. But the couple that I'm marrying this afternoon is a really private couple. And they both come from really big families, and they just financially could not invite all 300 of them to the wedding. They've asked guests not to take pictures and not to upload them on Facebook so that their family in England doesn't feel bad that they couldn't make the trip to watch them get married. Extending genuine hospitality in this particular situation means doing our best to honor the couple's wishes. Friends, we are about to enter into a season as a church where we will have many opportunities to practice hospitality. Fall is, after all, the season of church coffee hours, church picnics, installation services, and Thanksgiving celebrations. For some of us, participating in Jesus' hospitality is going to mean volunteering to help at one of our church events. We need people to make and buy the food, to find the tablecloths, to set up and tear down the tables. But we also need people whose gift it is to chat with visitors who show up at our events. We also need people to invite visitors to our events. Sometimes the demands of hospitality invite us to do that which we'd rather not for the sake of the world that Jesus loves so much. As much as Jesus invites us to extend hospitality, he also invites us to receive it. One place where our community receives the hospitality of Jesus is when we gather at the table for communion. The Lord's Supper serves as a foretaste of this heavenly banquet, where people will gather from north and south and east and west and sit at table in the kingdom of God. Jesus invites everyone gathered in this room today to participate in this holy meal. This meal feeds and sustains us so that we can go out into the world and feed and sustain others. However you find yourself participating in the hospitality of Jesus, know that Jesus loves you, that Jesus is with you always, and that Jesus goes out ahead of us. That we won't always do this hospitality thing perfectly. But that's okay, because that's not the point. In this new kingdom of God, the call is to be faithful, not perfect. Thanks be to God. In Jesus' name, amen.